The opinions and viewpoints expressed in the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors, Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content. Hey, all you role players, grab your milk and cookies and listen up. It's time for another stellar episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, tips, interviews, and reviews for the community by the community.
I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashokan Zelo.
And I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda, bringing you episode number 21.
Recorded live on Tuesday, April 3rd, for the week of April 6th, 2007.
Rock and roll. What's going on, man?
Dude, I come off of a weekend of being very sick with bronchitis.
You've been under the weather lately.
It was not fun, and I'm still coughing up stuff, so be ready to edit out some coughs out of this.
Well, I know that the allergy season around here has been extremely bad. I missed a day of work myself just because of it.
I missed 2 days of work.
Man, it's rough. So I think it's been bad everywhere this year. So some of the things we want to talk about tonight, we've got we're going to get an update on the Module of the Year contest.
Yep, we're going to do that again. I think that'll probably be a weekly thing we do since that's
at least until they announce the winners. I think that's
kind of like a cliffhanger, a weekly cliffhanger thing. You mentioned a new poll there.
Yeah, I think that poll's already been closed though. It was a. I think this is. Did you add this or did I add this? I think it was a poll to determine if people wanted to see the results.
Oh, we talked about that last week.
As it was going.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. So,
I think they had the results of that.
Oh, yeah, the results from last week.
Let's go look at it.
And we're also going to talk about a couple of NWN2 campaigns and an NWN1 climbing system that I found.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
And we'll get into the contest again. We have some updates on that.
Yep, for the Neverwinter Nights podcast contest, we got some really cool updates on that and a milestone that we'll talk about, which I'm really proud of. We got an email from Donna Seagrave, and I'll just read it for you, and then we can go into it because it's kind of timely here. Said, first of all, thank you for the podcast. I listen to it regularly and really enjoy it. Although I've made my living working with and on computers for almost 20 years, I've never gotten into gaming on any level until now. A friend who is a big standalone and online gamer suggested that I try Neverwinter Nights as a good introduction since A, it's cheaper now that Neverwinter Nights 2 has come out, and B, I can do it on my computer and not feel intimidated by being overrun by all the real gamers online. So I bought it, and I'm hooked. So my question is this. Could you make something like NWN for Dummies, a regular part of your podcast? I realize this is old school and old news to most of you guys, but there are still people like me out there who are new to the whole thing. Some of us don't even have the tabletop D&D history to fall back on, so we're really novices. You did a little bit of this type of thing in your prior podcast, and that was helpful, but we need more. Real basics. Thanks again for all your work, and thanks for listening. Little Newbie Wizard is how she signs it off, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time we've had these requests, and if you remember, I think it was like episodes 4, 5, 6, 7-ish, 8-ish, somewhere in there, we got into the actual manuals.
I think it was 6 and 7, which have been actually our two most popular downloaded episodes.
Yeah, into the thousands.
Yeah.
Now. And
so it's a little timely because I think today's main topic is going to be very similar to this.
About character creation.
Yeah, we're going to launch a series, which will be a really kind of a long series, on character creation in Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2. We've, like you said, we've got requests about this, but we've been struggling with the way to try, how to fulfill that. And I think we finally come up with something that will get us to the depth that most people want to get to.
Amen, brother.
So that's coming up. Stay tuned.
We got some comments from some new users that we haven't ever heard from before, so I thought this, we might read those.
That's easy for you to say.
We got a comment from Haddock, who enjoyed the episode and would like to say cheers for the mention of their Persistent World Rebirth that he is one of the joint founders of, and he said he looks forward to hearing the next cast. And I got on their forums, on the Rebirth forums, and told them that we mentioned them in our episode, and they said thanks, and then we also talked about them doing a mod spotlight, and he said he would look into it.
Cool, so, yeah, there are several places we need to bug about that.
And
we'll have one of those coming up.
And after we mention the podcast, after we mention the contest, Kaveen from Gallsburg, from the ShadowThieves.net, he got on and posted a comment. Best podcast yet, but that's because Persistent Worlds and DMing are my thing. Excellent insights by Bruce. And then he gives a link to the details on the DM event contest that we mentioned in episode 20. So I thought that was a couple of comments worth mentioning.
Right, and you can check out more information about that contest that Gallowsburg's going to be hosting for us, or they're going to be hosting the event once we get the winners in our forums. So check out our forums. He's got a nice little thread there he put.
And later in this episode, when we get to site news, we're going to talk about this some more, so we have some updates on that.
Cool. So if you're a mod developer and would like to be featured in the Mod Spotlight, we've got a page on our website called Submit a Mod Spotlight, and you can go there and follow the instructions there on how to record it, how to structure your questions, and how to answer them. You can send it to us, and we'll include it in the show.
Hey, role players and Neverwinter addicts. This is ASO, English consultant and PR of the Saga Project team. Our project, Saga, the Fangai Schism, is set in a completely unique campaign setting created by lead developer Fumiga. Our goal is to make our Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent World a friendship-based roleplay community with dedicated dungeon masters, engaging plotlines, beautiful landscapes, and great systems for our players, including crafting, activity points, a new death system, and a whole lot more. Our team currently consists of 6 dedicated staff members, but we have several positions open, including scripting and detail building. Saga is still under heavy construction, and we're planning to release on December 2nd. For more information on available positions and the world of Saga, visit us at our website, www.sagathian.com. That's SAGATHIAN.com.
Constitution ever increases or decreases, then your hit points will retroactively increase or decrease as well. So if you cast a spell that increases your constitution, you'll have more hit points until the spell ends.
So what's going on with the Module of the Year 2006 contest?
Well, let's check it out.
Ooh. I do know they had a poll wanting to know if...
Looks like as of March 29th, the poll has been closed.
Yep. They just closed the poll on that date where they were asking if you wanted to see the real-time results of the Module of the Year contest.
Mm-hmm.
Said the results of that poll were those who voted wanted to see the results, but not who voted for them.
Yay, that's what
so
I
So they've created a page for you to view. At that time, there's 461 valid votes cast, and voting ends on April 15th. So you got 12 days to get your votes in.
Tax day here in the United States.
Yep, it is. They also started a new poll to find out if an expansion for Nevernauts 2 was announced, would you buy it? That was if is capital letters and bold. It says it's the worst kept secret that there should be an announcement coming, and we'll rerun the poll again after more is learned to see if there's a difference in interest.
Yeah, I've heard whispers of that in all the forums myself.
Well, I have too. But if you look at the way BioWare handled Neverwinter Nights and the history between Neverwinter Nights 1 and the many expansions that came out after that, you've got to expect it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
not a question of if. It's a question of when.
Exactly.
I don't see it. I was looking for the new poll. I don't see it.
I was trying to see the results to see what was currently winning.
Oh, here it is. Will you buy an expansion pack for NWN2 if it's announced? Results are 551, definitely. There's not even any sense in reading the other ones. That one's winning hands down. I think that poll's over. That's with 1,000 votes, so that's 50% voting.
Here's the NWN Module of the Year Award for 2006 stats. Total votes cast, 641. Valid votes, 447. There's only one vote cast by a user registered before March 18th, 2007 are valid. So far, A Dance with Rogues Part 1 by 2 by Valine has 119 votes.
So he's in the lead?
Yep. Good, marginal lead. Darkness Over Daggerford by Ossian Studios has 69 votes.
Oh, that's interesting because the first time I got around, I was thinking Darkness Over Daggerford was leading the whole time.
Right now it's about 70, almost 70 votes back, 69 votes behind.
Interesting.
So I'll put this link in the show notes so you guys can get to it. They list every one of them that has had votes. And there's a couple with just one vote, a couple of two votes, all the way up to the Dance with Rogues Part 1, which has 119. These modules, as they're listed right now, are all based on whether they were in the Hall of Fame or got enough votes.
Mm-hmm.
But like the Emmys or Grammys, you know, there's not just movies. There's different categories of movies. Mm-hmm. Likewise, there actually are different categories of modules. We have single-player modules. We've got Persistent World or Game World modules.
So are these all mixed up?
DM-led modules. I think they're all mixed up here. I don't know. I'd like to see which ones are in what category. Because you might see a different vote for, you know, top Game World versus top single-player module versus top DM-led.
Have you played any of the ones that are listed there?
I have played a little bit of the Darkness Over Daggerford.
See, I haven't played any of them, so I don't feel I have a right to vote.
There is, we'll pick out somebody we know. Here's Bruce Nielsen's.
Yeah,
but Light Reborn Legends version 1.6 has got 3 votes.
Yeah.
I know that Michelle has played several of these. I've heard her talk about the Rose of Eternity series. And, there was another one I saw. Red Moon Rising, I think, is another one she's played.
I was perusing down through our list of users because, you know.
Perusing?
Yes. When somebody registers on our website, we get a neat little nice little email saying so-and-so registered. And so every once in a while, I'll go check those because, you know, sometimes it'll be people who from other websites and they'll put their website in there, you know, because, you know, you can.
Right.
Put your website in there?
You can put your website in there. That's part of the registration part.
Hey, Jay, guess what you can do? You can put your website in there.
Oh, really? I need to go do that.
Guess what?
What? Right, enough.
Anyway.
So you found a good one, you think?
Yes. I came across a new NWN. Well, I don't know how new it is because it looks like the website's been out here a while. So
new to us.
New to us, yes. Definitely into, well, copyright 2007. So I think they came up in the year 2007, so pretty recently. It's an NWN2 campaign, which I'm not sure what that means. I assume that's just a module and not a persistent world.
I would assume that a campaign would be a single-player module.
It's called Naldor. N-A-E-L-D-O-R, so I hope I pronounced that right. And their website is www.naldor.com, N-A-E-L-D-O-R. And looks pretty cool. I wanted to come over here and mention that and read a little bit of the background history for this campaign. And I'll just read the overview here. Naldor is a land in flux. For the good races of the land, the majority of the last decade has been a time of unity against a common enemy, the evil deity Karam. Karam is now gone forever, and the people of Naldor are rediscovering differences previously ignored. Likewise, diverse evil powers that were overshadowed by Karam now compete with one another to fill the vacuum that his demise has created. And so,
this is not a single-player mod. This is a multiplayer campaign.
Oh, okay.
I was just looking through their player information, and it says, number five, it says, game night, because of some things I have going on, we will continue to play on Tuesdays. So this is a server-hosted campaign, looks like.
But I was, that was one thing, that's why it caught my eye, because it said campaign. So I was,
right.
So does that mean they're building the story as they go? It's interesting. So hopefully if,
I think so.
After we post this episode, I'm going to get on their forums and actually ask them about that, and maybe they can tell us what the difference is. Anyway, if you get a chance.
I like the website's done very, very well. I like it.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, go out and check out Naldor campaign.
You know, Trey, I feel like climbing.
You feel like climbing?
Yeah. You got a thing you can climb?
Well, you know what? If you go to the Markshire NWN1 website, they have a new climbing system upload.
So you're telling me there could be a module out there that would actually allow me to climb objects?
That's what I'm telling you.
That sounds cool.
There is a persistent world, a Neverwinter Nights persistent world, called Markshire, Kingdom of Ice. And from what I can tell, in a land far, far away,
wrong podcast.
A long time ago, they created a climbing system, which I assume is a hack pack. And and how I found out about it was that they posted an update to that out on the vault. And I came across that in the vault news and thought I'd mention that here on our show. But that sounded kind of interesting. But evidently they have a system that allows your characters to climb, like cliffs and, I assume, vines and things like that.
I just noticed they also have a fishing system.
Get out of here.
No, I'm not kidding. Markshire has gone fishing. A new simple, hack-free, and entirely scripted fishing system has been custom-made for Markshire to allow PCs to fish at various fishing spots across the land. Grab a pole, find a spot, and try your luck or skill.
That's cool.
That sounds cool, yeah.
So when I get some time, I'm going to have to check this out.
I know we say it, and I don't know, our listeners probably get tired of hearing us saying it, but I'm continually amazed at the new stuff we find.
Oh, they have some more scripts, too.
There's just all kinds of stuff going on out here. That
they have a magic carpet. They have a magic carpet transition script.
Oh, it just goes way beyond what the original developers of these games even thought could be done. I'm so impressed all the time.
And one thing else I noticed at the very top of their website, below is one of the many different screenshots for Markshire 2. So it looks like they're working on an NWN 2. It's very interesting how a lot of these Neverwinter Night 1 worlds are all working on version 2s.
Yep. Well, it's a natural progression, just like the game progressed to Neverwinter Nights 2. There's new things they can take advantage of. And a lot of their scripts will port over fairly easily, so it's not a whole lot of changes.
I'm going to see if I can get a hold of these guys and see if we can get them in for an interview, because they have some pretty cool...
That would be a good interview.
Oh, wait a second. I'm looking here at their scripts, and they have two sections, scripts for NWN1, scripts for NWN2, and the climbing system is actually under NWN2. I'm sorry, the news was about their new climbing system that they've upgraded from their original one for Neverwinter Nights 2.
Ah,
excuse me.
Yeah, I noticed they also have a couple of scripts they have released for Neverwinter Nights 2. They all say that they are updates of their Neverwinter Nights scripting. So they're taking their Neverwinter Nights 1 scripts and updating them for Neverwinter Nights 2.
This is an overwrite of the original script and adds the following options. And I thought I'd read a couple of these. You get a racial bonus. Halflings receive a +2 to climbing checks as per PMP rules. Size bonus. Creatures of a size large or greater receive a flat +2 bonus. So what does that mean? You get bigger?
You can. Neverwinter Nights 2 does.
While you're climbing? So you can reach higher places?
Oh, that I don't know. Neverwinter Nights 2 does have the ability to do character scaling.
Stealth mode climbing. Creatures who attempt to climb while in stealth mode will incur a -5 penalty to the check. If they fail the check, they will fall and be removed from stealth mode. Climbing items, in addition to the climbing gear, the addition of climbing gear allows you improved climbing chances. Oh, so I guess if you're climbing, there is a chance you could fall. You get climbing gloves. These are gloves that have metal hooks built into the palms for climbing. Oh, so you can like climb the face of a cliff or something? That's cool. They have a ring of arcane climbing. That's cool. An elven. It's an elven-made silver ring that was first created for the ascent into the Therm Mountains above the pass.
I think we just need to get an interview with these guys. There sounds like there's too much there for us to do justice.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because this sounds really cool.
Anyway, check that out over at markshire.com. Site news. Dude.
Yeah.
We hit 10,000 total downloads.
That's awesome. So that's a big thanks to all the community who continue to support us and
picture Trey and Jay doing a happy dance.
Yeah, exactly. I've been happy dancing for about a week when we hit 10,000.
I thought that was a pretty cool milestone.
It was.
So about 20 episodes took us to get to 10,000 downloads total of every episode.
Right. And what's really cool is if you look at the episode stats page, you'll see early episodes continue to be downloaded, which is just awesome.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. We could not have done it without the community.
Nope. We couldn't have. So thanks a lot, and thanks for helping us make this thing work.
So we got a contest update, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we need to do question number 2.
We need to do question number 2 as well as Kaveen, I guess, heard us. Well, we got onto his website and told him that we were going to start giving the details of the contest, and he said that was cool, and he says that their DM team is beginning to plot immediately. They're on it.
Yeah, I think they're kind of excited about this.
And one thing that they asked... So everybody listen up here if you're going to be involved in the contest. One of the things that we're going to ask you to do if you are chosen as a winner of the contest is to prepare a short paragraph, no limit or length, on your character's background and motives. he went
right.
On.
That way, the DMs can customize the event to better fit our classes.
And you know, and this isn't the first time that I've went to play in a DM led event or people who are going to be DMing that they've asked this kind of thing. So,
well, that's
I think it's kind of like a standard thing.
Sundren does that in most of DM led sessions. Like when we were talking about Bruce last week, we were talking to Bruce and he was talking about wanting to do an event with us, and he mentioned that that makes good information so that they can customize the whole experience so that if you are, say, a cleric, you don't get into one of these events and find out that there's nothing for a cleric to do.
Right.
So they kind of custom tailor to the group. So they are kind of important. I spent some time on Sundren's forums and a couple other Game World forums looking at some of the submitted character bios and journals that are on there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been very interesting. So I've been trying to read up a little bit so that when we go to create ours, I'll have kind of an idea of what I'm doing because I've never done one of these before. So
here's what I think we need to have the contestants do. Last week we said, you know, we're going to do a question a week for the next 4 weeks, four episodes, and then we want you to send in your all four answers in one email.
Right.
Only emails. What we'd like you to do is in that same email, like in the second, you know, do another paragraph or two on your character that you want to be playing.
So if you send in your four questions and your answers and you add in a paragraph saying, if I were to win, here's the character I would like to play.
Then we already have it and we don't have to worry about doing that again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That way we'll have it and when we're ready to randomly draw the... how many are we going to choose? I think it's going to be probably three contestants. And then you and I will be playing in there with them. That's five, and probably Michelle.
Yeah, the event.
They said they
Michelle
wanted to keep
goes,
it.
They wanted to keep it from under six.
Yeah, he wanted to keep it at about six total players.
Yeah.
So.
So we have three or four winners.
Maybe seven won't be too many. I'll ask him in case Kenny wants to play with us too.
And I'm okay for us not all to be in at the same time. If one of us just wants to lead it, that way we can have more winners. And then we can turn around and do it again.
Yeah, we'll just see how many contestants we get.
Have another event.
We'll make a call when we get there.
Yeah.
Also, everybody remember, Kaveen also mentioned that this is a NWN1.
Right.
DM event.
This will be using Never One Nights One.
And you're going to need both Shadows of Undrentide and Hordes of the Underdark expansions,
right,
as well as CEP 2.0 installed.
Exactly.
So everybody remember that. And then he said, should be a ton of fun for everyone.
I'm looking forward to it. Even if I don't play, just hearing about it and watching, I'd like to be able to get in and spectate. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, if we decide to get four or five contestants and
maybe he'll let me DM.
Maybe we can just watch.
Maybe he'd let me DM with somebody, apprentice DM with somebody else. That'd be kind of cool. Anyway, you ready for question number two?
Question number two.
For the Neverwinter Nights DM-led event contest. Neverwinter Nights podcast, yeah. Who coined the phrase milk and cookies?
That's another easy one.
Yeah, that should be an easy
one. Too easy.
Well, the next two are going to be more difficult. We wanted to get everybody going on a good start. So, there's question number two. And if you didn't listen to last week's episode, we're not going to tell you what question number one was. You'll need to go listen to last week's episode.
Episode 20.
So.
Excellent. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So, and remember, keep those handy so that you can send those in all at once with your character summary.
Well, Jay, this week we're going to start a new series on.
That's going to be a good series.
Well,
kind of
Jay,
short, though.
Jay, this week we're going to start a new series. Maybe not every week, but when we don't have interviews, we're going to try to throw in, cover some rules and classes and races and all kinds of cool stuff about Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2.
All right, this kind of comes into where Donna's email to us came kind of timely, because we had just found all this information, and boom, we get this email from her asking about it. I know we've had people, like we said earlier, ask about this kind of information before, and we just had a hard time finding the good stuff that would make a good show.
We had some material. I won't go into why we're not going to use that material, but we found some new material that we want to use, and we had both been researching this for a while, trying to decide what we wanted to use, and I think we've got it nailed down, and we're ready for
character creation. Going for character creation, I'm kind of going to do a we're going to give you a Neverwinter Nights 1 look at things, and then if there's an equivalent Neverwinter Nights 2, we're going to give you that one too, and then we can kind of have a compare and contrast at the end. So to get us started, we're going to look at the third edition rules used by Neverwinter Nights 1. Now, we all know that the Neverwinter Nights 2 uses the 3.5 rule set, so there's going to be a lot of similarities and very little differences. So the third edition Dungeons & Dragons rules allows for an unprecedented flexibility in creating a truly unique character. Two players choosing to play a fighter can be as different as night and day, depending on what feats, skills, and what characteristics they choose to develop. This all can be very daunting to the newcomer, especially if Neverwinter Nights is your first exposure to Dungeons & Dragons 3rd Edition rules. There's always some confusion when you first create a character for a complex role-playing system, as there seems to be many rules to keep track of and opinions to keep in mind. Options to keep in mind.
Okay, let's start with a little bit of history. Dungeons & Dragons has been around for many years in various incarnations. The title 3rd Edition comes from the fact that several versions of the rules system for this famous game had existed before the current version. Each edition was quite different from the one before it. That difference is most apparent in the latest version. It is a large departure from the previous versions. As a new player, you do not need any experience with the previous versions of D&D rule system. In fact, it may be helpful to understanding the rules if you do not have any preconceived notions.
All the rules needed to play D&D are contained within a group of books called the Core Rule Books, or the Player's Handbook, the Dungeon Master's Guide, and the Monster Manual. The computer game Neverwinter Nights uses those rules. You just don't have to have the books.
Every time I see Monster Manual, I always think of that song, Monster Mash. Sorry.
So the basic information from Neverwinter Nights Manual has been summarized on the BioWare character creation site.
Right.
And the author of it has put in some additional thoughts on things to look out for each character class and things to keep in mind for a new player.
Thinking of a character can be an easy or difficult process. To start with, he says he always thinks of a character that he would enjoy reading about in a fantasy book or seeing in a fantasy movie, or is featured in something that he might have written or role-played in a live setting. While creating a stereotyped fearless knight or a sly rogue or so on always has appeal, he encourages NWN players and dungeon masters to create totally original characters that shatter the typical way each character class is presented. This is the mark of originality. If you can create a completely new character using the standard rules, those are the characters that stick out and become legends.
So one of the things to consider when you're creating your character is abilities. And you need to cover that before we talk about races or classes. And they're very basic, the abilities. These are the basic components of your character that alter how you interact with Neverwinter Nights world. The first one being strength indicates how developed your muscles are for physical tasks such as lifting or pushing. The stronger you are, the better you are at melee.
For Neverwinter Nights 2, strength measures the muscle and physical power of your character. This ability is especially important for fighters, barbarians, paladins, rangers, and monks because it helps them prevail in combat.
The next ability is dexterity. That determines how nimble, quick, and graceful you are. The more dexterity you have, the better you can avoid damage from enemies or traps.
For Neverwhere Nights 2, dexterity measures agility, reflexes, and balance. This ability is most important for rogues and warlocks, but also for characters who typically wear light or medium armor, as like barbarians and rangers, or none at all, like monks, wizards, and sorcerers, or for any character who wants to be a skilled archer.
Back to Neverwinter Nights 1, the next ability is Constitution. That helps determine how hardy you are. Different from Strength in that Constitution refers more to endurance, stamina, and general health. The more Constitution you have, the more damage you can weather, and less likely you will be to contract disease or succumb to poison.
And for Neverwinter Nights 2, much of the same of what you just said, Jay, but slightly a little bit different. Constitution represents the health.
Same but different.
Constitution represents the health and stamina of your character, which I think that's what you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
High constitution increases the number of hit points a character has, affecting how much damage they can take. And this makes it important for everyone, but especially so for fighters. If constitution ever increases, hit points increase retroactively as well.
That's cool.
I didn't know that. Spellcasters also need strong constitution to keep their spells from being interrupted during combat. I knew that because I like to play spellcasters.
Intelligence is the next one. That's the ability to reason, learn, or comprehend your surroundings. The more intelligence you have, the better skills you will possess.
Intelligence determines how well your character learns and reasons. Intelligence is important for wizards because it affects... What the crap? pop-up ad just came up. There's another one. Yeah, pop-up ads over at Game Banshee. I don't like that.
No, I was going to say, get off the dirty sites.
Intelligence is important for wizards because it affects how many spells they can cast, how hard their spells are to resist, and how powerful their spells can be. It is also important for any character who wants to have a strong assortment of skills. However, increasing your intelligence will not grant bonus skills points retroactively. Keep in mind that sorcerers, bards, and warlocks do not use intelligence for any of their spellcasting. Charisma is used instead.
Well, that's an important point right there.
Yes, it is.
When you're building those kind of characters. Wisdom is our next ability. That's your perception, strength of will, and intuition. The higher your wisdom, the more in tune with your surroundings you will be.
For Neverwinter Nights 2, wisdom describes a character's willpower, common sense, perception, and intuition, whereas intelligence represents the ability to analyze information. An absent-minded professor has low wisdom and high intelligence. A simpleton with low intelligence might nevertheless be very perceptive, have high wisdom. Wisdom is important for clerics and druids, affecting the strength and number of their spells. And it is also significant for paladins and rangers. It is very important for monks as well, modifying many of their abilities. The wise character is capable of intuitively understanding others, occasionally having insights into their motivations.
Charisma is a mix of leadership, personal magnetism, physical appearance, verbal ability, and social skills. The higher your charisma, the more likely you will be able to sway, intimidate, seduce, or bluff, and so on those around you.
Ooh, seduce.
I think you'd like that.
Charisma measures, and in Neverwinter Nights 2, charisma measures a character's force of personality, persuasiveness, ability to lead, and physical attractiveness. It represents actual personal strength, not merely how one is perceived by others in a social setting. Charisma is most important for warlocks, paladins, sorcerers, and bards, since it determines what spells they can cast, as well as the effectiveness of those spells. It is also important for clerics, as it affects their ability to turn undead. All characters benefit from having a high charisma when speaking with others in the world, since it modifies the player's diplomacy, bluff, and intimidate skill checks. Keep in mind that wizards use intelligence for the spellcasting, not charisma. So, you've played clerics quite a bit, Jay. Have you mastered the ability to turn undead?
Actually, I played mostly paladins.
Oh, sorry. I thought you played clerics.
But they can still turn undead as well.
Have you mastered it?
No, I don't think so. I was not very successful at finding situations in the current persistent worlds that we played where it made much difference. It was kind of a useless skill in the world we were in. One of the things I thought was interesting about the abilities on the BioWare site, and there will be links for this in the show notes as well, is that they then show you a screenshot of your abilities section of the game. And shows each one of your abilities listed out with your points that belong to them and showing any modifiers next to it. And I think I just wanted to mention that so that certain class character combinations, you will get modifiers based on how high those points are. Usually good modifiers, but some of them can be bad depending on how you've got your character created.
Yep.
So moving right along, let's talk about hit points.
Okay. Hit me.
All right. Hit points are a measure of how much damage which can be inflicted upon your character before they are unconscious or dead. For example, if you had a djinn, a fourth level rogue, has 15 hit points, is hit with an arrow from a bandit hiding in the trees, the arrow will do 5 damage.
Oh, that sneaky bandit.
Djinn now has 10 hit points left and has a wound. If djinn is hit with more arrows later in the combat and receives more than 10 more hit points of damage, he dies.
Ooh, crap.
In other words, if your character is damaged and has 0 or less hit points, your character dies in the Neverwinter Nights official campaign. In Neverwinter Nights, a module designer has the ability to change what the death settings are to the 3rd edition standard rules, which are a character's is unconscious at 0 hit points, and loses an additional hit point around until 10 points has passed. The character is now minus 10 hit points, at which point the character dies.
Hmm. So it's flexible.
Yeah, the module developers can change that.
Hit points are not just an indicator of how much physical damage you can take. Extra hit points as you gain levels are also an indication of your advancing skill at avoiding critical damage. Your 13th level fighter with 100 hit points may take 40 damage from a volley of 15 arrows, but this does not mean you have 15 arrows sticking out of your heart and are just being manly. It probably means you took many small wounds but managed to avoid being hit in a critical area, like in the gonads or something. You have not taken 40 damage in physical terms, but the 40 damage represents the fact you were able to survive being struck with 15 arrows. You are injured, but not dead, as you would be at first level. You have enough experience in combat to be able to survive such a deadly situation. And I assume this is all the same for Neverwinter Nights 2, because
yeah, that's just
in our references, too. In our references, they don't mention hit points.
Do you know what harkens back to the earliest D&D rules where a character is required to throw the dice down, roll in order to save them from a bad situation?
Saving throws?
That's right, saving throws.
Do I win a prize?
You win a cookie. I've got the milk.
I don't have any milk. I have a Coke.
So there are 3 types of saving throws. The reflex, will, and fortitude.
A reflex saving throw is when you need to react to something very quickly to avoid damage or perform some disparate action, such as dodging a fireball, avoiding a spike trap, catching a party member that has slipped off the edge. slipped off the ledge.
I feel like I've slipped off the edge.
So
a will saving throw is resisting mental attacks, magical effects, or anything requiring willpower, such as charm, illusions, domination, spells, and so on.
And fortitude saving throws are standing up to attacks to your vitality, health, or anything that attacks your constitution, such as poison, disease, energy drain, or paralysis, for example. Like those big spiders. I hate those things.
So, for example, Jin. Remember Jin, our fourth level rogue?
Yes.
So, say Jin notices at the last second an assassin has pushed a large stone statue off the building in hopes of crushing our hero.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to make a saving throw, or specifically a reflex saving throw, in order to avoid being struck by the statue. Jin rolls his dice and success in making his reflex saving throw and jumps clear of the statue as it crashes to the ground.
Oh, sorry. I just had this picture of this rogue looking up, seeing this statue coming down, and everything pauses while he gets out his dice and rolls them. Sorry.
So that covers the basis of everything we needed to go over before we can start talking about races and classes, which what we're going to do from this point on is that we will cover a single race or class as a continuing segment of this per episode. So there are 11, let's say there's races, and then once we finish with races, we'll hit skills, and then we'll get into classes, and there are 12 classes to go through. Barbarian, Bard, Cleric, Druid, Fighter, Monk, Paladin, Ranger, Rogue, Sorcerer, and Wizard from Neverwinter Nights 1. And for Neverwinter Nights 2, I think there are several more.
We had Warlock.
So there'll be some good information coming on the different races and other aspects of that. So I'm looking forward to going through those segments. So be sure and join us next week when we continue our discussion on character creation, when we talk about races and skills. Did I get that right?
Thanks for listening, and if you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com, or you can post them to the forums on our website located at neverwinternightspodcast.com.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-out to our Frapper map by clicking the Frapper logo. And if you're a member of a mod team, and yes, we know who you are, and if you'd like to have your module featured on the Mod Spotlight, free advertising, can you say that, free advertising? Check out the Submit a Mod Spotlight page on our website.
So until next week, get in game
and level up,
level up, level up, level up, level up.